It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, August 25th. I'm Patricia Naft. Less than 2 weeks after Mesa County officials celebrated the completion of a road safety improvement project, crews are working to repair another section of it. The improvement to 38 Road outside of Palisade cost $2.1 million. Jim Nall is Mesa County's interim engineering director. He says the road has steep terrain.
As part of that terrain, we had a contract to design a retaining wall to stabilize the very steep slopes for roadway stability. Geology of the area was such that the retaining wall did slip a little bit, and as such, contractors hired an expert firm to come in and to make some remedial repairs to the wall.
The sinking wall has created cracks on the first half mile of the road. Nall says that right now the county has the road down to a single lane while they do the repairs. He said it could take up to 3 weeks before the road is open to two lanes again. This could be problematic as the county says that 38 Road is important for agriculture in the area. Something is in the air and it's been making everything hazy. Wildfires in the northwest have been causing huge plumes of smoke to drift across the U.S. One person posted a question at icchange.org wondering what exactly is in the air. KPNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Last week, Ridgeway resident Sue Hush noticed something just about everyone else on the western slope noticed: smoke.
The wind has come up a little bit, and so it's cleared things out quite a bit. But that morning, the San Juans had no definition at all, none. It was just solid smoke and particulate.
Even if she hadn't looked out to the horizon, she would have been alerted to the haze.
We put in some new smoke detectors over this past year, and I had the back windows open, and I opened the front door to let the dog out. And when I came back in, so much smoke came in with me that the lower smoke detector actually launched.
Seeing all the smoke around, breathing it in just like everyone else, it started to make her wonder.
I would like to know what those particulates are made out of. You know, I don't think it was just smoke. I'd like to know what else was there, you know, what would likely be carried in with the winds like that and after the fires. You know, what all's in there? What is that stuff?
I took her question to Dr. Alan Robinson.
Well, hey, Sue, great question. What's in smoke? I mean, there's a lot of particles. So these are little microscopic particles suspended in air, and then lots of other gaseous pollutants.
Robinson works at the Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and he's studied wildfire smoke and its contents.
From a chemicals perspective, it's mainly made out of a complex mixture of organic compounds, a lot of which we don't even know what their identity is. But some of them we do know, and some of them we know are hazardous to our health, so things like polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and things like that.
Without going into what a polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon is, smoke is not good to breathe in.
There are strong sort of associations between a variety of health impacts, everything from premature mortality to asthma and things like that associated with breathing in fine particles. And another thing with smoke, obviously, is a lot of the studies have looked at chronic exposures, which are exposures over a long period of time. But these episodes associated with wildfires are typically, much shorter in duration, but can have very, very high pollutant concentrations.
That's why the state set out a warning last week, telling people not to exert themselves outside if they're older adults, people with heart or lung diseases, or children. That cocktail of particles and gases also has an interesting effect on climate change.
Smoke, it has a couple of different competing effects. And so particles can interact with radiation. So that's what we're worried about with the greenhouse effect, right, is that we've got radiation that's being emitted by the Earth back into space trying to cool the planet. So some of what is inside those particles is called black carbon. And so it'll absorb that outgoing long-wave radiation. But the lifetime of black carbon in the atmosphere is very short. It's a week or so. So that's different than, say, CO2, which lasts in the atmosphere for centuries or thousands of years, which is why CO2 is such a concern. So it can cause that warming. And so what offsets that is that these particles also scatter light back to space. And so it's this competition between sort of absorbing the outgoing radiation with sort of scattering the incoming.
That back and forth, that balance of keeping in heat and reflecting heat back, isn't terribly well understood. Robinson says that it leans towards warming, but each fire is different. Current models predict the West will become warmer and drier, a prime scenario for more wildfires. And that could mean more pollution. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
If you notice things in the environment, if the air from outside is setting off your fire alarm, let us know at icchange.org. Students are heading back to school, but the road to graduation for this year's incoming crop of seniors actually varies from school to school. That's because, unlike other states, Colorado does not have a set requirement for what it takes to get a high school diploma. Benta Berkland reports educational officials are addressing the issue.
What does a high school senior need to know to graduate? It's an ongoing debate and one that state lawmakers tried to answer in 2007 and 2008 when they approved measures requiring a minimum statewide standard.
The higher education entry requirements were pretty much driving the train.
Former Democratic State Senator Evie Hudak served on the State Board of Education during that time.
The Commission on Higher Ed said these are the things you need to get into college. And so a lot of the school districts felt that higher ed was running the show and it should really be K-12 running it.
When it comes to education, Colorado is a local control state. That means individual school districts decide what their students need to graduate. Now the State Board of Education is in the final stages of adopting a more uniform plan.
It is extremely common for states to have expectations for graduation. We are one of the last to establish those.
Gretchen Morgan is with the Colorado Department of Education and works for the State Board of Education. The board has recommended proficiency in English, math, social studies, and science. But now they're discussing, among other things, eliminating the social studies and science requirements. Misty Ruthven is also a staffer for the Education Department.
We convened 7 groups of stakeholders from across the state, from education, labor, workforce, business, parents, students, so really cast a broad and wide net to get lots of voices involved in the conversation and provide the updated recommendations.
But if the State Board of Education removes social studies and science requirements, some worry it could trickle down to other curriculum decisions and actually lead to a step backwards. Aurora Public Schools Superintendent Rico Munn says any graduation standards must be multifaceted.
It's one thing to say you need to know X, Y, and Z, but it's another thing to say you know how to apply it and what's the evidence, what are the artifacts of that that are acceptable and appropriate for your district to implement.
Former teacher and current Democratic State Senator Michael Merrifield of Colorado Springs supports the move to eliminate science and social studies. He serves on the Senate Education Committee and thinks schools are focusing too much on subjects like science to the detriment of art and music.
There's a lot more to life, to being success, than these so-called math and science subjects that they're really insisting. Everybody's not a mathematician, he's not a scientist. And this emphasis takes away from the opportunity for other subject areas that children maybe really have an interest in.
Regardless of whether the standards include social studies or science, Adams 12 5-star school superintendent Christopher Godowski says moving to a statewide standard for some districts will be difficult.
I think they're setting a floor, although it's a floor that's pretty aggressive compared to where a lot of people set the standard right now. There is the local ability to set higher standards.
Striking the right balance is a debate former State Senator Evie Hudak says she's heard a lot of over the years.
Lowering them, raising them, when you raise them too high, then you don't have every kid able to graduate. And there are a whole bunch of people who think that our goal should be that all kids are able to graduate. And then other people say all kids should be ready to enter college.
It's not clear when or if the State Board of Education will take up any changes if they don't do anything. Their proposed requirements that include competency in English, math, social studies, and science will go into effect in 2017 for incoming high school freshmen. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Chase and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.